Joining me for Lincoln Live today, Police Chief Jeff Bleymeister, exercising proper social distancing. Chief, thanks for the conversation this morning.
Dale, good morning. Calling you from the confines of my office to yours.
Spikes in larcenies from auto. This results in continuing reminders to the public that all it takes is making sure that your vehicle is locked and that there are no precious items left inside.
Yeah, 112% increase since directed health measures went into place here in Lincoln for larceny from autos. And that is a big driver of our overall Part 1 crimes being slightly up. And, you know, we've talked internally and we've read some of the literature from across the country of trying to explain the whys. And once again, there are quite a few things that could be impacting this. But what we're trying to focus on is, hey, we want to try to narrow down into specific geographic areas where we're being hardest hit and utilize the resources that we have to be able to impact that. And we call them problem-oriented policing projects. They are something that are measured. So, of course, we have these baseline numbers. We're comparing the statistics to five-year trends. And then we're trying to employ tactics to move that needle, Dale, down.
Chief, I'm guessing, and this is purely a guess, I haven't seen any of the geographic focused areas across the city. Areas with apartment complexes that might have a high concentration of vehicles in a small area as opposed to a wide open neighborhood that would have one or two vehicles in a driveway? Is that a fair guess?
Yeah, that's a fair guess. You've been doing this a long time, Dale. While we're experiencing both situations that you just described, there is quite a few that are occurring in parking lots near apartment complexes. And so the different geographic teams, they've prepared these projects, and they're employing different tactics. The Southeast team captain, Captain Woolman, shared with me that some of their third shift officers and supervisors, they distributed over 600 flyers in one shift. And the flyer's simple, just as you described. Don't leave valuables in your car and lock your car. And that's going to be a message that we continue to promote through social media, through the traditional media outlets. But we're also employing other things too. So some of the investigative and suppression efforts that I really don't want to go into a whole host of details about, but you and I have talked at length. We are partnering, trying to get video from anybody that has a Ring doorbell, that has surveillance systems at the apartment complexes themselves. And we have been somewhat successful in identifying a few people that are responsible. And then we have to go back to some of the more traditional policing strategies. We are dusting for fingerprints. And people that are breaking into cars are not taking the time to not leave that evidence behind.
Chief, I couldn't answer a question asked by my colleagues here on KFOR, and that is, does this have anything to do with the coronavirus pandemic? And with people self-isolating, some not working, I guess you could correlate a connection, but criminals don't think logically. So I would think that self-isolation wouldn't make a difference. Maybe losing a job would. It would create a higher degree of desperate nature in a person. But what in studying the science of crime, is there any connection in your opinion?
Well, I think that there are some connections that are occurring. And all the things that you described are certainly ones that we're talking about. First and foremost, there are specific age demographics that are more responsible for larceny from autos than others. And there are a lack of structured opportunities that are going on, right? Kids aren't in school. There isn't all of these other after-school programs that have been so successful with community learning centers that are going on right now. And so without that supervision, without that structure, there is opportunity, and that opportunity can lead to increased crime. We really think another component of this is that people are just so out of their habits, out of their norms, and maybe they are leaving their cars unoccupied for a longer period of time without checking on them, leaving stuff behind, and just statistically that's increasing the opportunity or the propensity for these larcenies to occur.
To put a period on this part of our conversation, I'll get up on my soapbox. Just don't leave your vehicles unlocked, number one. And number two, don't leave possessions wide open so they can be seen in that vehicle. And even if you want to, take your garage door opener, because I've had conversations, Chief, with third shift captains, and it appears to the homeowner or the vehicle owner that nothing's been taken, but then they notice their garage door opener is missing. And then we go down that path and speculate that the crook will come back, use the garage door opener, and then if nothing more than steal things out of your garage, maybe get into your house.
Absolutely. It is a risk, and it's something that does occur. And Dale, as you and I sit here and talk about it, it just makes common sense. Who wants to go through all of this inconvenience, right? If I leave something in an unlocked car, whether it's my wallet, a garage door opener, or anything of value, but then I'm having to work to get a new ID, to get a new credit card or bank card, to reprogram my garage door opener. There's a lot of other things that we, even though some of us are bored because there isn't as many opportunities to do the things that we once enjoyed, those will be back. Let's spend time planning on that and not being responsive to a theft.
Let's look at other trends, Chief, compared to the previous five-year average during the same time period and see what impact the COVID-19 pandemic has had. Part one crimes. These are the more serious or most serious crimes: homicide, rape, robbery, aggravated assault, burglary, and the larcenies, as well as auto thefts and arson. 10% increase in those types of crimes.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you look then into the subcategories, those that you just listed off, once again, it is the larceny from auto, the thefts, mm-hmm. that are driving that up. Because another subcomponent is shoplifts, and we've broken those particular numbers out because stores are closed. There isn't as many people in the stores, and shoplifts are down significantly. So violent crime, the first four that you mentioned, murder, robbery, rape, aggravated assault, it's still occurring in our community, but it is statistically flat in comparison to the five-year average. Now, that doesn't help anybody that's been a victim of one of those particular offenses, and that continues to be the majority of the time of our criminal investigators is spending on working those cases. So their caseload has not changed. Because despite what pandemic issues it's creating in society, there's still a very small percentage of individuals that are doing violent crime. And no matter what is occurring in society, that doesn't seem to deter them.
And another call to service for officers that is down, in addition to shoplifting, traffic crashes decreasing 46%. And that makes sense. Fewer vehicles on the road.
It does. Traffic accidents down. We partner with the Lincoln Transportation and Utilities, and their staff is sharing the traffic counts, which also continue to be down. So those shoplifts, traffic collisions, those make sense. Now, one of the things that you heard one of my peers talk about yesterday publicly, Colonel Bolduc, less traffic, more opportunity for speeding citations to be up. And, you know, we still have to remind people that when there is excessive speeds, when they're not following the traffic rules and regulations, we're still there. We're still doing those enforcement efforts. And we'd prefer, just like always, that they not do that, because that can limit the number of contacts our officers have to have with the public.
Mental health calls have gone up double digits during the pandemic.
Absolutely. They have, Dale, and that's another one of those that it just makes sense, right? There are more time to be alone, to think about, hey, how am I going to deal with the financial stress, the fear of the unknowns, you know, when are we going to get back to normal? And most importantly, we've been separated. We've been separated from those that provide us the opportunity to vent, to be supportive. And that's why every single one of us can make an impact here, Dale. Myself, you, we can reach out to our loved ones, just see how they're doing. It's not as good as being in the same room and sharing a meal, but we'll get back there soon. I am confident of that, and we need to have those support. Now, in some of the more severe circumstances, where people are attempting to take their own lives, either through overdose or other means, those are also calls that we're seeing increases on. And I need to remind people that there are resources that are still out there. There are professionals. The Lincoln Police Department, strong partnerships with CenterPoint, with the Mental Health Association of Nebraska. And we know those advocates are still there to help people. Don't be afraid to reach out. Don't think just because, hey, I am struggling with all of these things that are going on. Everybody is, and you just got to ask for help because it's still there, Dale.
This is National Police Week. Let me personally thank you for being a member of the law enforcement community, Chief. You do and your fellow officers do what I would never be able to do, so I appreciate that very, very much. How is the observance going to look this year with social distancing required?
It's going to be different, Dale. A lot of things that are different. Friday at noon, we're going to be finalizing a production. So Aaron Spilker, our public information officer, Captain Don Scheinhost, and members of the Honor Guard have been preparing something that we're social distancing, and they're going to kind of clip together some videos because we still want to honor. We want to honor the six fallen LPD officers. And you know, I've been preparing some comments and doing some reflection on all of this, how it's different. Even here, locally, there was an officer that was killed in the line of duty in Overland Park. He was a friend to a couple of our officers here. And, you know, the ability to mourn their death, to celebrate their life, is limited, just like it is for everybody that's experiencing that kind of loss. And then I think about, I've been able to attend the national services in Washington, D.C. twice during my career. And it is an incredibly moving experience, and one that isn't going to be celebrated this year. And that doesn't mean that the service and the sacrifice of those that have lost their lives, their families, is any less. And I also want to think about, too, you know, Dale, we have six current LPD officers who have either been shot or stabbed during their career, and yet they're still here. And, you know, when you listen to their stories, you see the whys, because I think people might understand if they left this profession, but they haven't. And they continue to go out, and they serve just like they did before those incidents happened. And all some pretty powerful things, and makes me proud to be part of this profession.
Thank you for doing what you do and your other fellow officers. And thank you for these conversations every month. I appreciate it.
Dale, I hope everything is healthy with you and your family and all those in the studio. And I know we talked about this last month, but soon, one of these days, we'll be sitting in that smaller studio across from each other once again.
And we're all good for now.
I look forward to that.
Thank you, Chief. Police Chief Jeff Bleimeister joining me today on Lincoln Live.